are. Anyway, welcome here. My name is Jason, for those who haven't met me. I'm married to Annie, and father to the two amazing boys that you saw. If you guys were here earlier, you would have seen two boys running around like maniacs. 3 and 6 years old. They proving there and then that they are my children. So I'm going to be talking about the holy habit of rest. And when I agreed to do one of the talks this term, I'm not sure if it was just bad luck or my lovely, loving wife being particularly mean to me, asking me to talk about rest, because rest is something I'm not so good at. And so, this isn't my strong point, but as luck had it, last month, Annie did a really, really good talk on rest in Swedish. And so, putting this out there, this is complete plagiarism of exactly what Annie said a month ago. Just use Google Translate. No, I'm joking. I actually put some effort into this and didn't just use my preparation time for rest, because I could have. It was a really great sermon. So if you understand Swedish, on the Emmanuel Church website, go back and listen to that one. And or if you like my version of this, then you don't need to, because hopefully it's not a competition. It's not a competition. But like I said, rest is something I'm really not very good at. I'm a busy person. Somehow I've managed to fit way too much activity into my life. Both valuable things that probably we can all agree are valuable, but also things that only I might deem worthy and valuable. Rest for me has actually been more like trying to get a few hours sleep on a Saturday morning to make up for late nights of working and other activities outside of my paid job, because it's very full. I run two podcasts, I do play a lot of board games, I run Meeple Mondays, I spend time with family and friends, I try and stay fit and do training, and basically I feel like I don't know how to rest properly. And so when they asked me to do this, I was like, are you just trying to tell me something here, or, you know. So looking into this whole subject of rest, we have to ask ourselves, okay, what is rest? What does it mean to rest? What does it actually mean? Is rest just having enough sleep? Is rest more than that? And so today I want to like dive into this whole thing. And when we ask about what rest is, I don't think it's something that, it's not something that I think we need to recover, need to have in order to recover from all the other things that we do. It is not about recovery just out of necessity, when we've been working too hard or maybe burning the candle at both ends like I do way too often. It's not something that we maybe have to do if we work too hard, as if we had to earn it. And that's just something I'm going to dive into today. Because when we look at the Bible, we can read that rest is something God-given for our benefit. It's God-given for our benefit for one reason only, because we are loved and He created us and He wants us to have the best. Rest is designed and meant to be a part of our lives. The Bible refers to rest in many words, but one of these is the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was there from the start, and it was designed for us. And actually, right out of the mouth of Jesus, we read in our reading for today, which is Mark chapter 2, 23 to 28. And I purposely wanted to read this out in the middle of my sermon rather than having this at the start, so I could lead up to this and give an introduction to this thing. And so we're going to read from this, and it's from Mark 2:23 to 28, for those of you who are want to read along on the Bible app on your phones. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" he asked. He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Son of Man is even Lord over the Sabbath. Jesus is in charge here, and he shows us, I believe, he shows us in his actions how to take full advantage of the Sabbath. And this is something we'll talk more about in a little bit, but I want to go back to the very beginning. And Annie, can I just, I completely forgot to take up your English Bible with me. Could you bring that through here? Because a couple of other verses that I want to reference that I forgot to write in my transcript here. Thank you. one of them I did have here, but one of them I actually realized last minute I did want to include. We're going to go back to the very beginning. Because Sabbath and the rest, it was there from creation. Because we read, on the seventh day, God rested. For those of you who went to Sunday school or had any idea of the creation story, you remember that the first day, second day, third, sixth day, he made man. Seventh day, he rested. And maybe that's what gives us the impression that rest was meant to happen after we work. But there's something that actually how rest works for us that we want to look at now. God saw what he'd done and it was good. And he rested. To be honest, he just created the complexities of human being. He made the first man and then he made the first woman, and maybe the man was a little bit more simple to make than the woman because we are more simple. I'm going to stop before I get cancelled or something, if that's even possible. I edit the recording, so this isn't going to go out. I can self-censor myself. It's nice. It's a nice power. But he made the complexities of human, which is like a masterpiece. He calls making human beings the masterpiece. And we look at the details here. After the sixth day, he'd already done everything. And then he created a day to rest. The first thing he wanted us as human beings to do was rest. He'd already done everything for us. He made everything, the sun, the moon, the skies, the seas, the sand, the animals on it, everything. And then he created human, and then he created rest. And there's something else that we can look here, a small detail that I find quite fascinating here. And this is in Genesis 1, verse 5. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And then there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. So the order of this, what happens? There's evening, and then there's day. There's rest, and then there's the time to work. Rest comes first. So if night becomes before day, then we're given rest before we're meant to work. In this logic, rest isn't anything that has to be earned. We don't have to work really hard in this logic in order to think that we deserve the rest. It makes a huge difference when we allow ourselves to rest in this way. We rest in preparation instead of rest in order to recover. It's just a little bit of a perspective check there that I thought was interesting. And we also read here that God made the Sabbath. He made the Sabbath holy. And we read here in chapter 2, verse 2. By the seventh day, God had created, had finished the work he had been doing. And so on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. The Sabbath, it was holy. It was blessed. And I read this, and I feel this should mean something to us, surely. I mean, that's a rhetorical question. Yes, it should mean something to us. Something more than recovery from a long week of work. And I read this, and I actually look at myself and my own life, and I feel convicted here. I feel like I need to shift my own perspectives here. Sometimes my life feels like it's going a million miles an hour, and it's been a challenge, actually, to stand up here and teach on this subject that I feel like I fail at every day. And so I'm putting my hands up here and say, actually, please don't take me as a role model here by all means, but let's look at the best role model that we have when it comes to resting. Students, if there's any students in the room, can you put your hands up? No, I'm joking. I'm not talking about students. No, of course I'm talking about Jesus. And Jesus shows us the way here, not what he says, but through his actions, through what he does. If we read through the gospel, through all the first books of the Bible, and we focus on Jesus' lives, you will find it hard to read about a time when Jesus rushed. He walked places. He took time for people. He even rebuked his disciples when they were trying to hurry children along, when there were loads of children around him. And he was like, wait, what are you doing? What are you doing? This is the children of the kingdom of God. What are you doing? He made time for people because that was what was important. He rested and slept when there was a storm in a boat and all his disciples were panicking. And he got up and said, don't calm down, it's okay. Even when his friend or the little girl had died, when he was asked to come and help, he didn't get up and run. He got up and went with them. And he walked and he got there. And both in terms of Lazarus and the little girl, they woke up again. Jesus had that walking tempo because he knew and he was confident in what was happening. Rushing, then apparently, it's not going to get you to your goal any quicker. Not really. Maybe it will get you from A to B, but what's the cost going to be? What's the cost of saving those extra minutes, maybe? What's the cost of rushing a job when you might do a couple of things wrong and then have to redo it again? I could dive into that a lot more further, but we only have a couple of hours this evening, so I'm not going to go into that at all. But you can kind of start thinking about, you know, the purpose of rushing against actually maybe walking and taking that time. On the other side of this, though, are we filling our lives up? And yes, that's me, with so much that there's maybe no room for Jesus when we rest. Even in the good things or innocent things. I remember many years ago when I was working in a theatre, I was on tour in Ireland, and we were doing a show almost every single night. And then on the end of this show, we did a 26-hour improvathon. And that was a 26-hour long show. And I was improvising the lighting, and I was stubborn. I was in my 20s, and I wanted to prove that I could stay the distance, and I could stay up all night and get there. And I just about did. I fell asleep a couple of times, and the director was there poking me in the back to keep me awake and everything. But after this, my recovery, I was in no shape at all to enjoy my rest. It was just sleep and some very, very weird dreams of 26 hours of an improvisation show. Are we filling our lives and stuff that there's no room for Jesus in our rest, that we don't understand what's going on in our rest, that he's not there? Rest, I'm talking about this rest and focusing on how we can bring Jesus into our rest, I think is how we can make a difference. And this comes from taking the Sabbath day as what it was designed for. Spending that time with Jesus. Remember, we just spoke about this. God, he made the Sabbath holy. Now, I don't think that means that we have to spend every single minute of our Sundays in prayer, every single minute of our Sundays being quiet and just meditating on Jesus. Perhaps rest. But rest, don't forget, it's not work. It's not the opposite of work. And after all, the Sabbath is for us, right? We've just read that. It's for us. And maybe our first step is doing something, one, at a slower pace, and two, something different from what you do for work. If you're inside on a computer all day, like I am in my thing, maybe rest for you is going outside and having some activity, going and seeing people at something at your own pace. But maybe if you spend a lot of time with people at your job, maybe you're a teacher, a social worker, or something where people suck your energy out as you meet them, because that happens. Maybe some time alone could be just the thing you need. And then finding a way to bring Jesus into that equation. Rest is to not, sorry, I'm going to read this sentence right, because this is something that I have been thinking on and praying through. Rest is not working for Jesus. It's walking with Jesus. Rest is not working for Jesus. It's walking with Jesus. Maybe even if it's doing, you know, good things that maybe Jesus will be really pleased with, and those important things that we can do, but it's not working for Jesus that we need to focus on. It's walking with Jesus. But how can we make that including Jesus part really count? We've already talked about walking with Jesus and slowing down. But when we slow down, I believe we can see that actually we can be present for those people that we need to be present for the people that we even want to be present for. When I get so busy with so many other things, I can realize that it's been maybe weeks since I've spoken to my parents or other family members. I feel like it's time when I've missed many things, important things in my friend's life, because I've just been so busy and I haven't been doing exactly what I've been talking about here. But it's not an easy thing to slow down and walk with Jesus, not walk at Jesus' pace. Sometimes it can actually be really uncomfortable. Well, if you slow down too much, that you maybe find something inside that you don't want to deal with. Maybe there's something you've been running from years ago and you think it's passed over, but it's lingering there and it's hidden. What if Jesus sees through you? He sees through who you're trying to be and have to be the real you for whatever reason that might be. Maybe the you that you don't think other people will like. But here's the trick, and here's the truth that you might already see coming in what I'm saying here. But that person is the person that Jesus wants to spend time with. That's the person that Jesus wants to take the walk with, who wants to be walked with. So in this time, and maybe it could look in the ways of, you know, spending time outside and taking a walk and just being honest with Jesus through prayer. Telling him how you feel. Telling him how you're struggling, maybe. Telling him how you're struggling with having so much in your life. And I know that's the case for me. Because there's no point in trying to be strong in front of Jesus. That's not what he's after. And Jesus promises in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We come to Jesus and he said, okay, the work is done. First thing we're going to do is rest. There's no judgments. There's no shame. He takes the load on himself. And he's there for us. However much we haven't been walking, however much we've been filling our lives with and not been taking this rest seriously. Because, I'm going to repeat again, it's for us. The Sabbath is for us. Rest is for us. He did that work before he created us. He asked us to rest before doing anything else. And then he offers peace and love to take that heavy load when we've worked and we're feeling tired. And he wants to do this with us. He invites us to walk with him. And to cap all this off of everything that I've said today, I know we've gone a bit through of a journey and ended up in this slightly more serious place, but what I wanted to get to is it's about the quality of rest, not the quantity of rest. The quality of our Sabbath, not the amount of it that there is. Which is really difficult because sometimes when I'm taking that recovering rest, I want to sleep for 2 weeks at least. I want the quantity when I'm looking at it from the side of being recovery. But maybe if I turn it around and I look at the side of resting before work, I'm going to find the quality instead. And getting there might not be so easy, and I want to invite us to give all of this to God, give our busyness to God right now, because you sitting here and me as well, and I don't mean to make any of us feel ashamed for this because I'm right there with us. We might have a busy life. It might be of our own accord, or it might be because that is just the situation that we're in. You might have a life that you've filled yourself that actually includes people relying heavily or maybe you're just in a position where people are relying on you heavily and you can't do anything about that right now. And you can't change that right now because that's just the place you're in. But those moments of rest, those times when you can get close, you get to choose what to do, you get those moments of rest. Maybe that's the start. Maybe it's those times that matter. And we can choose to take some of that time to walk with Jesus instead of working for him. Because he offers us that. He gives us that. Let's pray. Jesus, we come to you all here today. And we just want to lift up our lives to you. We want to lift up every single moment of our lives, every single detail, every single stone uncovered to you. Jesus, we invite you into our busyness. We invite you into the business of our lives, Jesus. We ask you, Jesus, to be there and walk with us as we say that we want to walk with you. Jesus, you love us so much. You want to meet us and you want to take off other burdens onto you. You want to share the yoke with us. Thank you, Jesus, that you offer this. Jesus, help us to understand what that rest means for us in our lives. Help us to introduce the holiness of that Sabbath that I'm talking about into that resting time. Jesus, meet us in the busyness, but meet us also in those tough moments of rest. Help us to go deeper with you. Jesus, thank you that you made rest for us. Holy Spirit, just come and fill us up in this area. Just fill us up now, and we just pray, Jesus, that you can be there in those moments. Help us in those moments.